Hello, this is Dr. Dave, and you're listening to a KnowledgeShare conversation hosted at grokshare.com. This is episode number 5, and the discussion today focused on system test, a critical deliverable that verify quality is built in. System test is a test activity that validates the integration and coexistence of multiple systems in one or many environments to meet specific customer requirements. Our guest is Ken May, the leader of a system test group for the Wonderware Industrial Automation Software. Can you share with our audience a brief profile of your work experience?
Hi, Dave. My name is Ken May. I'm the senior manager of system test. I've been doing software and general quality assurance for over 20 years now. I've started out in the GIS and map making industry for Rand McNally back in the mid-90s. Spent 2 years there, about 3 years in financial service software for a company called SunGard Data Systems. And then I spent 9 years at an e-commerce startup that was acquired by Digital River, and stayed with them about 3 more years after we were acquired, and then came over here in this new industrial automation domain for me to head up the system test team about 6 years ago here at Wonderware Schneider Electric Software.
What is the purpose of system test?
The purpose of system testing is to make sure that the software components, and whether it's at the application level or the cross-product level, behave as expected from a customer perspective and as a design perspective for our users. In the case of our software, we have complementary but very disparate set of products. We have our core is our Wonderware application server. This is basically a system platform consisting of our application server IDE. We have a strong, high-speed, high-performance historian, and we also have our flagship InTouch product. So that's kind of the core. Even just building off of that, we have things like the historian client. We have Wonderware information server. We now have cloud offerings in the Azure space that are Wonderware info client and SmartGlans as part of our overall Wonderware online offering. Upstream on the enterprise side, we have MES solutions. On the front end, we have InBatch and some of the batch applications that help drive pharmaceutical and food production type software. So all these products need to play nice together and need to work in a way that's going to be of value to our customers. And our customers are in different industries such as oil and gas, water, wastewater, pharma, food and beverage, mining, minerals and materials. So it's a broad spectrum in the industrial automation control HMI SCADA space. Since these products are developed by different development teams, we have general and specific practices to make sure that we adhere to a certain development requirements and a certain process, but those teams don't always test their software together. And so we take all these different products in a pre-release mode and make sure that they function properly from a functional standpoint, from a PSR, or performance, scalability, and reliability standpoint, by putting them through different types of system tests. And we can get more of that later on, maybe down the road here.
In what situations is system test best used?
System test is best used in different aspects of the software development lifecycle. We do like to get involved in some of the requirements and design phase to give feedback, especially when we use our domain experts on the team to say, what works well, what doesn't work well, based on the requirements that have either been internally driven or customer driven. We definitely want to make sure we are covering multiple passes and layers of testing. We used to kind of operate towards the very end on the actual validation side. Now with our enterprise agile approach, we're actually able to have workable code and workable even multi-component products coming together earlier, as we have 2-week sprints and we have every 3 months a releasable increment. We're able to test on a more frequent basis. So we're not finding big showstoppers at the very end. We're finding things up sooner. So I think that the main thing is making sure that we can test the code and test as a product, as a multi-product solution, as a system before our customers see it. The main goal is to reduce or eliminate the customer-faced issues that they may see if we don't do our testing and find issues. So it's upfront quality, trying to build quality in, and definitely trying to at least protect on the back end pre-release validation.
What value would you receive from using system test as a practice?
Yeah, there are values for the company to, sometimes it just gives you that confidence that you're ready to release based on a set of planned system tests that we perform. And obviously the big value I see, and I get to go see customers 4 or 5 times a year and hear from them directly, and they also come on site at times, is just being able to share that we've actually helped protect the quality of our releases through finding things that are hard to detect at the design level or even at the functional test level. So it's kind of an additional layer of testing. Some of it's done up close to the functional testing level, but also it provides the value on the back end, end-to-end system validation.
How has customer satisfaction improved with the use of this technique?
Well, you tend to talk to happier customers. That's just one kind of thing that you notice. You're not attending as many crisis type meetings. You're attending more mixed feedback. There's always going to be some bad with the good, but you're hearing a lot of good things that, hey, the product does this really well. It does this really well. And then when things aren't playing so nice together or the customer isn't satisfied with a certain aspect of it, we take that back in and we work that back into our system test architectures to make sure that we're covering the things that our customers are doing, because our system is fairly open. You can do quite a wide variety of implementations with our system. It's basically, it's a kind of a visual studio for industrial automation. So you're actually building things that we can't always imagine what our customers are going to build. So we use that feedback and create a feedback loop. So on subsequent releases, we feedback information back to the product managers and the product owners to create enhancements and features that make sense. And then we also make sure that we are testing for things that we've observed in the field and had direct feedback from our customers to make sure that we don't either regress or we can even anticipate usages that they may have in the future.
Based on your experience, how has quality improved?
So that would be through just the analysis of the post-release defects. And we've had a significant reduction over the last several years of our customer-facing defects. And it also decreased even in our pre-release defects, which is a testament to increased development quality, meaning that we're getting the requirements right. We're developing higher quality codes. So functional and system tests are also finding less defects, but we have increased overall satisfaction in our satisfaction surveys and other indicators as well.
What are some of the steps to execute a system test?
So the system testing we perform here is somewhat multifaceted. Some of it is very customer topology realistic. Some of it is more benchmark type system testing. And then we also have coexistence and compatibility testing. That's probably the least realistic, but it's probably the most stressful on all the different products and parts coming together and having to work together properly. So I guess in general, as a system test, we're trying to kind of enumerate in 7 steps. But in kind of keeping it just more general, we basically, before we even do any testing, we understand what are the features or bug fixes that are being brought into a given release. We analyze those with both the dev team, the functional test team, and our own internal experts on our system test team to make sure we understand what the changes are, what impact they have upstream, downstream from a data standpoint, what kind of performance impacts they might have. And then we actually go out and look at our existing system tests and either create new system tests or new topologies if we don't have something that can cover what's being delivered, or we modify our existing topologies to make sure that we can cover the new feature set or the new performance requirements of a given set of features in our products. Once that's been decided, that gets updated in our test design. We make sure the test design is robust and then covers the necessary changes. And then if it requires the bench to be retooled or re-architected or just even slightly modified, we go through and do our initial modification of whatever system test bench is being adjusted at that time. We have an entry criteria of the code or the release under test has to be at a certain level. It has to be a real build that's versioned. It has to be something that we can install and we can even either upgrade or migrate our existing topologies into. So it has to be at a certain level of readiness. And in the past, at a 12-month release, it might not be till month 9 we would see that. Now, in the last 3 years, with our enterprise agile approach, we've really pushed that up. And now, within the first 3 months of a given release, we're able to start in doing our system testing. So once we have a build that we've agreed and deemed it's passed our entry criteria and it's ready to be system tested, we'll bring that in. We'll install it on the target topology. we'll have the system test engineer. And a lot of this installation and configuration has been automated over the last half decade or so. So much of this is not done manually, but a lot of our system testing is still manual because we need to make sure it's more user-based testing. So it's mostly scenario-based testing, scenario-driven testing that has benchmarks and has metrics that we record based on the testing. So once we bring the application or the applications, because this could be several of our products that are being released simultaneously, we'll bring that into the test environment. We'll install them. We'll bring them up to the latest, version, our application up to the latest version of the software, and then we will start our test scenarios. If we encounter an issue, first we'll discuss with the development team. We'll have it reviewed. We'll document it as a defect in our defect tracking system. And as long as it's not test blocking, we'll continue on with the test pass. Once the all planned testing of that test pass is completed, then we basically look forward to see if we need to do a subsequent pass. That would be if there's issues that were found that need to be retested and can only be tested in a system type topology, or if there's additional functionality being delivered that needs to be tested.
What challenges do you face with teams supporting system test activities?
Yeah, one challenge is just making sure that our team can get the right focus on the right products at the right time, making sure that the team knows that there's criteria for a feature to be complete that needs to go through a round of system testing. Since we work in different geographic locations, we have to use things like a common located spreadsheet in this case that just basically tracks all the pending releases and all of the system test activities that we need for each one of those product releases. Just making sure that we can work closely with the dev team to understand before the features are even developed what these are and what they're going to affect, so we can be modifying our test design and building up our applications to support those product changes prior to the critical path for system testing within each of our PSIs. And a PSI is a potentially shippable increment, which we have every 3 months is our enterprise agile approach that we use.
Any final thoughts to share with our listeners?
Yeah, probably for people that are on the dev and test side, and whether it's functional or system test, even before you write, when you're designing or even interpreting requirements or writing a line of code or writing a test case or writing a system test case, really try to understand the user, understand the personas, put yourself in the position of a user that has to use this software every day. And I think that's one of the things that can help contribute to just higher quality software, is really thinking and acting and developing and testing like a user. It's so important. In our industry, it's challenging at times because we have to go out there and see what the users are doing and understand the pluses and the minuses and the pleasures and pains that our software might be giving them. So I think it really is just take that user approach to developing and delivering software.
Thank you for sharing today. It's great being with you today, Ken.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you for listening today. Look for the KnowledgeShare podcast on iTunes. That's spelled KnowledgeShare. The KnowledgeShare podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. Ken May can be reached on Twitter at Yamnek. That's spelled at YAMNEK. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at KnowledgeShare.
You grokshare?
I grok it at KnowledgeShare. Every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness, share, and learn.